Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that we can worship you, that you have called us to be your children. You've called us to be in your family. You've called us to be your friend. Lord, we know that, and we're thankful for that. I pray that you would stir within our hearts a longing to worship you and love you in return because of all you've done for us. So, Lord, please plant this truth upon our hearts. Bring glory to yourself by transforming us, that we are more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Quick question. How many of you are cat people? You want to raise your hand and admit that? You're cat people? Okay. There's like 10 that admit it. How many of you are dog people? You like dogs better? Oh, there's a lot more dog people here. That's great. Oh, yeah. Cat or dogs? Well, do you hate one or the other, by the way? Do you hate cats? Anybody hate cats? Oh, okay. Let's get some people that hate cats. Okay, who can't hate cats? No, just kidding. I love cats. I love dogs, actually. I like them both. But here's the question, and I did not put a picture up here just because I decided to be kind, but how many of you like snakes? Ooh, like snakes? Okay, all right. Okay, there's a few that like snakes. How many of you are like, ew, I hate snakes? Okay. All right, here we go. What if you came home from work one day and found a huge cage in your living room and it had a big snake in it? And then there's a... You what? I'll show you. Well, what if there was a box right next to it with a bunch of little white mice? You'd get the idea, wouldn't you? Well, and your spouse said, "Surprise! Don't you just love our new snake?" And after a little bit of light conversation, your spouse says, "You have to love her. I've already given her a family name, Slithering Sally." Now, after you recover from shock and disgust at there being a snake in your living room, you ask the question, which anybody would ask, "What do you mean I must love that stupid snake? I mean, Sally. You can't force me to love that snake, and you certainly have no right to insist that I love it or that I love her." Well, so forget about the snake for a minute. Is it true that you can't be forced to love someone or to love something? We know that that's true, okay? I mean, just watch the movie Aladdin, and you learn this, right? Rub the genie, "I want this, you know, girl to love me," and he's like, "No." Okay, you guys remember this or not? Get a lamp, rub it, genie comes out and says no. Anyway, we have free will, we have volition, we have choice, okay? So what about being commanded? What about being commanded to love someone? Is it right to be commanded to love someone? Now, what's the first thing that comes to your mind when I say this? Pose this question in your mind is, can I be commanded to love someone? To be commanded is more than just being encouraged or instructed, because it comes with a threat of or else something unpleasant is going to happen. Well, what did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 22 and elsewhere? This is what Jesus said: "You must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second one is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself." And of course, if you're a Pharisee, you'd said, "Well, who's my neighbor, Mel?" Right? Isn't that what the Pharisee said to Jesus? "Well, who's my neighbor?" And what was in their heart when they asked that question? Now, does this sound like a suggestion or a command? Well, if you can read, it's a command, right? It's not a suggestion. So the answer is yes, you can be commanded to love, but it's still a choice as to whether you obey that. Here's the kicker. The freedom of choice comes with consequences. In John chapter 15, Jesus said this, starting in verse 10. He says, "When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love. Just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. So Jesus is saying, when or if you choose to obey my commands, you will remain in my love. And the positive consequence of obeying Christ is this: you will remain in him and your life will be filled with joy. And joy is not the same thing as happiness. Being filled with joy means that your world can be crashing down around you. And some of you have lived through this and you know it. Your world can be crashing down around you, and yet you can maintain an inner peace and satisfaction because God has so filled your heart with his love and his joy. And this cannot be manufactured. You just can't think positively to experience this. You have to be filled with God and his joy. It's not something that's going to come with good circumstances or money or friends or winning the lottery. Now, the very opposite of this is true as well. What if you disobey or ignore or neglect Christ's command? You will not remain in him. This is the negative consequence of disobeying Christ. Your life will eventually become stagnant, unfulfilled, and joyless, and you'll just be muddling through life, going through the motions. And you know what will happen next when you wake up? You have your wake-up call, just like the prodigal son had his wake-up call. You know what's going to happen? You are either going to repent, turn back to God, and experience joy again, or you're going to double down and just try to keep pressing more of the things of this world into your heart and your life. You know, priority are going to be your friends or food or drugs or alcohol or work. Or maybe your hobbies. Anything to fill that void. And this is the natural consequence of choosing to disobey God and to live according to your own natural desires. You choose to live separate from him, and you're going to face and live through the consequences. Because we are given free will to choose, this makes love a decision. This is why love can be commanded, because it is a decision. It's not a feeling. No one can command you to feel something. But God can command you to love because it's a decision. Now, after encouraging his disciples to obey his commands, he gives them this command in verse 12. He says this: love each other in the same way that I have loved you. Now, how did Jesus love you? How did Jesus love the disciples? What's that look like? It was a sacrificial love, wasn't it? Listen, Jesus loved us sacrificially. He gave up heaven. He came to earth. He became a servant. He took on human flesh. He faced the mocking and the spitting and the cursing and the flogging and the crucifixion and the shame, the embarrassment. He bore it all for you. He loved us sacrificially. You know what else? He took the initiative. Jesus loves you sacrificially, and he took the initiative to love us. He loved us before we loved him and before we even knew him. And the Bible says, according to Paul, that we were still his enemies when he did this on our behalf. Jesus' love set a standard by which all love is measured. His love sought out the highest good for those who he gave himself for. And the highest good for all people is that they would have their sins forgiven and that they would receive eternal life through faith. And once they came to know Christ, like many of you, the next highest good is to be conformed in the image of Christ, to actually become like him. These should be our goals in all of our relationships as well. Seeking the highest good for every person you know. And that highest good is forgiveness. That highest good is eternal life through faith in Christ. That's what we should be after. That's what we should be seeking in the lives of other people. And you know what? Jesus didn't wait around. like many of us. He took the initiative to go after it, to seek us out. He took the initiative. We should be doing the same thing. So what does it look like to love other people the way Jesus did? Does it mean that we are to put other people before ourselves? Yes, we are. Does it mean that we're to take the initiative? Listen, does this mean that we are to take the initiative to get to know people, and especially our fellow believers? The answer is yes. You are to take the initiative to get to know other people. You know, one of the things I really loved about being at the grade school, if you were here, you remember the season in which we were at the grade school, week in, week out. You know what happened at the end of church every week? Everybody stood around, put up chairs. There was lots of conversation, lots of fellowship. I'd say a good 10 to 15, 20 minutes of people just chatting, milling about, talking to each other. And today, in this nice, comfortable setting, at the end of service, whoop, whoop. It's funny because it's true. You ain't got 5 minutes to have a conversation with somebody you don't know? Listen, you people do not know each other that well. Taking the initiative to get to know other people is a way in which you are obeying this command that Jesus gave. This is not Mel Workman coming down on you and giving you a command. Jesus said you are to love each other. And how in the world can you do that when you pop out of your seat and you bolt out of here in 3 seconds? The answer is you're being disobedient. Do you invest? Doesn't it mean that we are to invest in relationships? We are to invest in relationships. It means that we are to serve alongside of other people, worship with other people, learn to follow Christ with other people. And God willing, if when you mature and you get to a point where you've got it all figured out, you're to help other people do the same. It means to make disciples, helping me following Christ the best that I can, day in, day out. And then you know what? As I am following Him, I'm bringing other people alongside. I'm doing all that I can every day to influence people for Christ, making disciples. Now, assuming you are following Jesus and you're on this narrow road and your life is great and you're fulfilled and full of joy, what better way to express your love for others than to help them do the same, to follow in your footsteps? And what better way to express your love for Jesus than to obey His command to make disciples, to help them follow Him as well? So why should I, Mel, why should I give myself? Why should I give myself to this kind of lifestyle where I'm putting other people first? I'm building relationships. I'm taking the initiative. I'm trying to influence other people for Christ. Why should I do that? Why should that characterize my life? Because Jesus Christ laid down His life for you. He laid down His life for us first. This is what He said in verse 13. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. And listen. Now granted, we cannot lay down our life for other people in the same way that Jesus did. But I'll tell you what you can do. Over the course of your week, there's all kinds of things that you prefer to do. I prefer to do this. I prefer to eat there. I prefer to go there. I prefer to associate with these people. I have all kinds of preferences. And you today, tomorrow, and this week can actually lay down your preferences just as though you're laying down your life, and you can start to help other people follow Christ. That's how you lay down your life just like Jesus did. Sacrifice me, myself, and I, and what I want for the benefit of other people. Jesus said, you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master does not confide in his slaves. You are now my friends. since I have told you everything the Father told me. You did not choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. And once again, he says, this is my command. Love each other. Now, doesn't this sound familiar? Because Jesus said the exact same thing in verse 12. Love each other in the same way that I have loved you. And here's the second time he mentioned it, just in a few minutes. But if you remember earlier that evening in John chapter 13, which is the same evening, Jesus said this. So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Now, Jesus is the master teacher. This is why he repeated in the context of one meal, one meeting, probably within less than an hour, he says, love each other the way I have commanded you to love each other. This is how you'll prove to the world that you're mine. Love each other in the same way that I have loved you, sacrificially. Love each other again. Now, we learned this from Joni. If you guys were VBS, Joni's not here. You know what Joni does during VBS? She repeats, she repeats, she repeats, she repeats, she repeats, she repeats. Because somebody who's a master teacher knows you have to repeat these lessons. Sometimes it takes more than one hammer blow to sink the nail. Somebody said amen to that. That goes right along with what Kirby said. Kirby, keep hitting that thing. I think this is especially true with this command to love one another. I do not want, in my flesh, in my natural self, I do not want to lay down my life for others. I do not want to give up my preferences. I want to watch what I want to watch. I want to go where I want to go. I want to go to bed when I want to go to bed. I want to eat what I want to eat. I. That's the way we are naturally put together. It is a lot of work to lay down our lives for the sake of the love for other people. But this must be repeated often. And notice in verse 14 that Jesus gave us another optional command. He says, you are my friends if you do what I command. In other words, if you want me, Jesus, to be your friend, you will do what I say. Now, how many of you want Jesus sitting next to God the Father right there? How many of you want Jesus to be thinking, that guy, he's my friend? When he prays and when he makes a request of me, because I know it's going to be in the best interest or in my will, those prayers are going to get answered. If you want to be my friend, do it. Do what I say. And afterwards, he has several positive characteristics of his friendship. He says, you will know the will of God, which is revealed by the indwelling Holy Spirit. Our lives will produce lasting fruit, which means our lives will have meaning and fulfillment and eternal value. I mean, don't you want what you do here in this life today to matter for eternity? And whatever you ask in pursuit of his purpose and glory will be provided when you ask. Imagine that. Jesus calls you a friend. You're laying down your preferences every day for the sake of other people. And you come across a friend in need or a friend that needs to hear the gospel. And you say, Lord Jesus, give me the words to share with this person that they might come to know you. Or put words in my mouth that will come to faith in you. Maybe this is just one step, or maybe provide for them. And you know what? You, operating in the Holy Spirit, having laid down your life day after day after day, making this a regular practice, Jesus calls you your friend, and you cry out to me and say, Lord, please meet this need for my friend who needs you. And Jesus responds by tugging at their heart, calling the Holy Spirit to draw them to himself. Or you can put your head down, stick your hands in your pockets, and go through life with me, myself, and I, and never laying yourself down one day. The negative consequence of choosing to disobey or ignore or neglect his command is that Jesus will not be your friend. That's exactly what Jesus just said. Now, here's the thing. Fortunately, because Jesus does love you in spite of your rebellion and your nature, you don't have to remain separated from him. How would you like Jesus to say today when you leave here, he came in the doors and we were separated. He was not my friend. But as he left today, or she, they are my friend. You can choose this moment. Even right now, maybe some of you are aggravated with me. Maybe you're aggravated with what I'm saying. I don't like what he's saying. I don't agree with that. I don't know about the theology of that. Well, I'm happy to have that conversation if you want. But Jesus said, if you obey, you're my friend. If you don't, you're not. But fortunately, Jesus loves you unconditionally, and he desires a relationship with you. So here's what you can do. You can repent. You can acknowledge. Repentance means the acknowledgement of what Mel is saying is true, because he's saying it from God's word, not because Mel said it. You can repent. You can turn away from me, myself, and I, and that selfish lifestyle. You can say, Lord, I want to experience friendship with you. I am surrendering my life to you. And maybe today will be the first time that you've done that. Maybe today you're here and you've never surrendered your life to Christ and you really want to be his friend. Well, it starts right here, right now. What is in your heart? Unfortunately, it sometimes takes difficult times and heartache for Jesus to get our attention. And many of you have lived through that too. A season of separation. Season of heartbreak. When finally you yielded and said, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm going to follow you the best that I can this moment forward. Please forgive me. When our relationship with Jesus is diminished or broken because of our sinful choices, we often look to the world for comfort. Friends, family, hobbies, work. It is seemingly easier to go that route, to distract us from the real pain that we're experiencing in our heart. Now, when I was about 21, a good friend of mine came to know Jesus Christ. You know, grew up together since the third grade. And, you know, his life changed dramatically. And he was very zealous to share his faith. But like a lot of new Christians, young people, very zealous, oftentimes they alienate and aggravate their friends, don't they? Well, I don't recall his zeal or his passion for Christ having any impact in my life at that time. I would have been 20 about then too. But a couple years later, when Andrea and I gave our lives to Jesus and became disciples, I remember calling him very excited and to let him know that I had given my life to Christ and I'd become a Christian as well. And I thanked him for praying for me and influencing me, even though I really couldn't remember anything he said or anything he did distinctly, but I just remember that God just put it on my heart to reach out to him and encourage him. About another year later, I learned that his wife had left him and their kids. His life was a mess, and I had hardly seen him or spoken to him in the last year or so, and so I decided I would visit him. And believe me, on the drive over there, I had no idea what I was going to say. As we talked, I learned about everything that had gone on in his life, the divorce and the whole situation. He was extremely depressed, was drinking a lot, and he was upset at the way God had allowed all this to happen and allowed his life to fall apart. As a result of everything that had happened to him, life coming crashing down, he stopped going to church, stopped reading his Bible, and he was pursuing all kinds of worldly things to fill that void and to medicate that pain. And I remember very distinctly, I'd spent 2 or 3 hours at his house. Almost the entire time I was there, God kept putting this chorus in my mind. And the whole time, it's just going through my mind, and I'm ignoring it, and I'm just listening, ignoring, asking questions, and having conversations, you know, with a friend I've known since third grade. And when it was about time for me to leave, God gave me the courage to sing the chorus. And I said to him, "This is going to sound really weird, but God has put this chorus in my heart, and I need to sing it to you." Now, we've been friends since third grade, and I don't remember how he responded, but it was mostly a cold response. He wasn't all that excited about it, I'm sure. And you know what? If you heard me sing, I wouldn't be excited about it either. But this is a song I sang to him twice. "Trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey." And again, I just emphasize, trust and obey. There is no other way to be happy in Jesus. I didn't need to explain the song to him. He knew it, and he knew that it was true. I really don't know or remember exactly what happened to his life, that because he had got evicted and had to move, a bunch of other things, so I lost track of him. But I know a few years later, the last I heard, he'd gotten his life back with Christ, and he was very involved in his church. Now, I'm sure my visit had just a little bit of influence on him, because I didn't have a lot of time with him after that. But I will never forget God pushing me out of my comfort zone with somebody I'd known since I was third grade and putting it on my heart to sing that song. And that is a way in which you can lay down your life for someone else. Do something you don't want to do, something way outside your comfort zone, assuming that God has put it on your heart. And if you can sing well, it's nice, because the other person won't, you know, they'll think fondly of it. But where are you? Elders, come forward. I've kind of lost my train of thought. Elders, come forward. Listen, this morning, I just want to ask you this question. If you walked in here this morning and you don't know, listen, if you don't know deep within your heart, I mean, know that you're a friend of Jesus, maybe you are, you're sitting here thinking, you know, I don't know, maybe I'm separated from him right now. Maybe Jesus would not call me his friend. I want you to realize you don't have to walk out of here today the same as you walked in. You realize that? Do you trust Jesus? Now, most of you here today, you're in church, you'd say, "Jesus is the Christ, Jesus is the Messiah, Jesus died on the cross, he rose from the..." You know, I'm not asking if you trust Jesus. I'm asking you if you are obeying him. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. Are you obeying him? Do you want him to call you friend? Are you willing to love other people in the same way that Christ loved you, sacrificially? And remember, it's easy for us. We don't have to give up our life. We have to give up our preferences. Now, if you were here today and you were just sick and tired and you want a new life or a renewed life, today is the day to repent, to turn to Christ. And when we stand up and sing, you just come forward and tell one of the others, say, "I am ready for a new start. Please pray that when I walk out here today, I walk out with a renewed sense, a conviction to follow Jesus and to obey him, no matter how uncomfortable it is." Because some of you probably have some hard decisions to make, some uncomfortable decisions to make if you're going to follow Jesus. But if you're sick and tired of life as it is, and you are ready to turn your life over to Christ, Jesus Christ always answers the prayer of repentance. When your heart is soft, and when you have sorrow deep in your heart, and you say, "Lord, forgive me," he will forgive you. Turn back to him, or turn to him for the first time. Trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this day. Another day we're given to worship you. another day, another opportunity to lay down our lives and follow the example of Christ. Lay down our preferences, lay down our desires for the sake of someone else who doesn't know. They don't know the great and wonderful gift of forgiveness and eternal life through faith. So Lord, this morning, I pray as we stand up and sing that you poke and you stir and maybe you aggravate that person here today who wants to reject your word. Not me. They want to reject you. They want to reject your word. I pray, Lord, you poke them and prod them and you make them uncomfortable, make them miserable, put a frown on their face until or unless because of the drawing of your sweet Holy Spirit and because of your wonderful grace and love, they just yield. Make them miserable unless they yield. Myself included, Lord. Help us to yield. And to say, yes, I want to be your friend. Please press this truth in our heart. Don't let us leave here unchanged today. Bring glory to yourself. Make this a reality in my life, in all of our lives. Please, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.